Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
And now, are you effing kidding me? With JoJo from Jurys.
Hey, it's me, JoJo from Jurys. And shocker, I have something to say. With all of this craziness with Donald Trump's court cases and the interference being run by our Supreme Court on his behalf, I can't help but go back in time to before the 2016 election when I was losing my shit every 32.7 seconds, imagining all the terrible, awful things Trump could do if he were to somehow end up in the White House. I recall one conversation with a family member at the time who didn't like him, but ended up voting for him anyway, twice. I said I was really worried that he was going to get 3 seats on the Supreme Court and that we'd be dealing with decades of his impact on this country. And I was told to calm down. I was told I was being too dramatic. I was told Roe was settled law. I was told he would grow into the office. So to those people who told me to calm down in 2016, that reality TV game show host you said would grow into the office turned out to be a rapist business fraud who extorted a country, plotted a coup, incited an insurrection, and stole our most highly guarded national security secrets. Oh, and by the way, he got to appoint 1/3 of the Supreme Court, which is playing fucking footsie with his accountability, and is now set to decide if he's completely and totally immune from prosecution. So fuck you. That's how mad I am. But here's the thing we all know already. The Supreme Court was never going to save us from Donald Trump, and frankly, we shouldn't want them to. That's not how democracy works. We, the people, have the power in this country to shape our futures electorally. That's how it's supposed to work. Our founding fathers probably did not anticipate a Supreme Court as tainted as fuck as this one, or maybe they would have put better mechanisms in place for removing them from their appointments, but we do have mechanisms we can call upon. We just have to have the right people in government to do it. And that means that we have to vote. No one is coming to save us. No one came to save us in 2020. We had to save ourselves, and we're going to have to do it again in November. And frankly, that's the way it should be. The courts need to handle Donald Trump. There is no question about that. The hammer of justice needs to rain down upon him in ways we've never seen in the history of time. Believe me. But we, the people, are not going to determine any of that. And those judges don't get to determine who sits in the White House in 2025. We do. And we will. And it won't be the cinnamon-stained son of a bitch. That's for damn sure. And then we can put real pressure on all our members of Congress to finally implement some real oversight over the not-so-supreme fucking court. Because those bitches have been getting away with murder for far too long. And no one in this country is above the law. No one. The end. We also have to laugh. We have to vote and we have to laugh. We have to laugh at the absurdity of it. We have to laugh at the insanity of it. And we have to laugh as much as we can because we'll lose our minds if we don't. And the good liars are one way we can laugh. And if you guys don't know the good liars, you have to follow them because they will crack you up just basically letting MAGA Republicans be themselves. Jason Selvig and Davram Stiefler are the good liars, an American political comedy duo that's been active since 2011. I didn't know that. With their first stunt happening during Occupy Wall Street, their primary focus is infiltrating conservative rallies and campaign events to interact with, interview, and troll politicians and their supporters. They've done everything from handing Ron DeSantis a participation trophy to handing condoms to Herschel Walker and asking J.D. Vance for a refund on his book. They crack me up. I enjoy the hell out of them. I want to attend a MAGA rally with them in disguise, of course. And, oh, by the way, they have a new podcast coming out called The Good Liars Tell the Truth, some kind of behind the scenes on how they make their videos and how it goes when they talk to these people. They have a Patreon, and they deserve all of our support because they're doing really good work, and they have to put up with all of that crazy all the time. And if we put enough pressure on them, maybe they'll let me go to a rally. Maybe I could ask Becky Sue. I mean, I think Becky Sue would love her some MAGA merch. I think she needs a MAGA Trump Snuggie or something. Or maybe like a singlet or beer koozie or bikini. I think she needs a bikini, a Trumpy bikini. Oh, I just threw up in my mouth. Anyway, I love this conversation. It's my first conversation with two guests at one time. It doesn't include my daughter. Anyway, I loved it. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. Bye. Welcome to the Are You Effing Kidding Me podcast. Devram Stiefler and Jason Selvig, also known as the Good Liars. Hi, guys.
Hey, thanks Hello. For having us. Appreciate it.
This is so cool. I've been watching all of your content for what feels like forever, and I'm such a huge fan. Even my 14-year-old son is a huge fan of yours, so I'm so excited to talk to you guys.
All right. Well,
appreciate that. If it seems like it's been a long time to you, it probably feels really long to us that we've been out there doing this.
Yeah, I want to talk about that too. By the way, I just want to mention off the top, you are my first podcast threesome, so congratulations.
Wow.
All right.
Unless you count the one I did with the Fonz and my daughter, but I don't want to count that one.
Don't count that.
Yeah.
That'd be just weird to say it out loud. So
don't luckily, no one is listening or watching this. So that's
okay,
fine.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, I can say whatever I want then. I don't have to fear getting canceled here. That's nice. That's a good feeling, actually.
No,
I
mean,
whatever I want.
By virtue of your association with me now, you've sort of entered a whole new realm of getting canceled, not canceled as trolled, I guess, and hated. So you might get some memes of yourself like eating fast food naked on the couch with me. That happens to people. I apologize in advance.
Huh. Okay. Well, what's the thing? It depends on the fast food.
Yeah.
I don't know how offensive it is until I know what fast food it is. Because if it's Chipotle, I'm like, hey, that's cool. I like Chipotle. That's good.
I think their go-to is usually Kentucky Fried Chicken. So if you are a fan of, you know, the original recipe Kentucky Fried Chicken, maybe? No.
It's okay.
AFC Taco Bell combos were pretty cool stops.
Yeah.
I'm okay with it.
The KFC combos with the biscuit. You kind of get the biscuit, right?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I mean, those buildings where they'd have a KFC and a Taco Bell in the same building.
You're lucky you'd get a Pizza Hut as well.
Yeah.
Which is like a whole other thing. Yeah.
It used to be, and then it used to be a Baskin Robbins like situation where Baskin Robbins would like mash up with KFC or something. Maybe it was Subway. I don't remember. But
and now look at this. Now look at Joe Biden's America. That anymore.
Why is that?
He's ruined ice cream. That's
yes, exactly.
He hates America, and
Hates ice cream. Yes,
he does ice cream.
Ruined
but let's go back to pre Joe Biden's America. You guys, I read on your Wikipedia. I'm going to read it. Just going to read this on your Wikipedia because that's where I get all my information because I'm a very, very astute researcher. Okay, it says here you have been active since 2011. They have been active since 2011 first start happening during Occupy Wall Street. Their primary focus is infiltrating conservative rallies and campaign events to interact with and interview politicians and their supporters. Troll and interview. Did this say 2011?
2011, yeah. Occupy Wall Street.
So were you babies?
We were babies. Yeah, we'll never see
we were
our age.
The first babies at the protests. We were in New York. We were both kind of somewhat newly in New York and went to the protests, and we were like, what's a funny thing to do here? What if we are representing the 1%? So we got some thrift store like suits and said we were bankers, and like, if you guys keep up this protesting, we don't get paid as much, we can't do as much cocaine, we can't have that. It kind of took on a life of its own. We didn't know people were going to think it was real, and then it ended with actual investment bankers protesting with us, thinking like it was tongue-in-cheek, but being like, we're with these guys. And then we kind of realized, you know, we wanted to continue with interacting with real people.
I mean, so how did you guys know each other before that? How did you end up in New York? I mean, you don't have to go far back, but like, so you guys were friends?
And yeah, we became friends in the comedy scene here. We both were in like the sketch comedy scene in New York City. And for the first like year that I knew Devram before Occupy Wall Street, which is our movement. We were just friends playing basketball together. We'd go and do pickup games, and we were in like rec leagues in the city, and we were like basketball friends. And we both were in like the comedy world, and we decided to film this this video that we thought was just a sketch, but then people thought it was real, even though we thought it was obvious, like the satire of all of it. But people thought it was real, like the media reported on it like it was real, and we were like, okay, this is some, there's, we've got something here. This is the two of us in the real world interacting with real people. It works. I don't know if it's just the lack of shame that we have or like the little like switch that doesn't go off in our heads when in very uncomfortable situations, but we decided to keep doing it. And it kind of took off in 2016. We were kind of doing things off and on together. And then in 2016, we ended up filming a movie where we pranked all the presidential candidates. And that's where it all kind of came together for us in that moment. And then
something else happened around 2016 that made
What happened? Yeah, the world got a little weirder. I can't remember what it was, but yeah.
Yeah. I guess a basketball thing? I'm not sure.
It was related to basketball, I'm sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
But it's funny that they didn't think you were parody, really, because I think one of the things that I'm always marveling at is how you don't make fun of them while making fun of them in the strangest way, so that it's not obvious to the people you're talking to always that they're sort of the punchline, right? Like it takes them, in them, a lot of the cases, they never figure it out. Like in the case of the politicians that you're trolling and stuff, it takes them a minute. Like, let's just say, for instance, Ron DeSantis's participation trophy, you know, he didn't realize, and neither did, what's her name again? All of a sudden, I can't think of her name.
Casey.
Yeah. They didn't realize it at first, right? So that, because it doesn't seem obvious, even though it probably should.
Yeah, I think about halfway through, they started to realize what was going on. I was bummed. He went to take the trophy, and then he kind of like redirected his hand, I think, once they realized what was going on. But I don't know. We have this philosophy of kind of like going for it and not bailing halfway through, because that's weirder than just going for it. So whether it's, you know, pranking people or interviewing people, like, kind of have to keep your straight face going. You kind of stick it. You know, stick through the awkwardness and just outlast them. And you know, that's a strategy we found to work. Even sometimes when we're interacting with police who are leading us out, we're like kind of staying in character a little bit.
Well, you did that in what is my favorite ever video of yours, which is JD Vance. Like, I honestly thought I was going to die laughing. The JD Vance one, because you stated character the whole entire time, asking for a refund for his book. You just interrupted him right in the middle of the speech, and then you're trying to ask for a refund on the book. And then as you're being escorted out, thing that sets me off every time I watch it, and I just revisited it today, was when you're like $16.95 in Canada. And you tell the guards escorting you, like, I just didn't like the character.
It's not very likable. Yeah, it's not a likable main character. It's a kind of a good, you know, critique of the book, I think.
I just think he wasn't a likable guy. I think that's fair.
Yeah.
So what made you decide? So you said, obviously, it's everything kind of changed in 2016. What made you decide that it was going to be MAGA and it was going to be Trump and it was going to be all that QAnon crazy, that you were more than even the candidates themselves, that you were going to sort of go out there and talk to and engage with?
I don't know if we made the decision or if society made the decision for us, because like with the Trump presidency, it was just, absolute chaos. And then on top of that, like kind of just like the crazy stuff that was happening in the White House, you had the people who were supporting him who are now believing things that were like on top of that crazy. They believed other theories about it that were like making excuses for why Donald Trump was doing the crazy things that he was doing. So it was more just like, oh, we're going to go out, we're going to talk to people, and this is where the people are here. And we obviously,
to that point, COVID happened, and that was where the people were. We took, you know, like a lot of people didn't leave our apartments for a while. And then once we were like, we got to get back out there and be active, just to not go crazy. Like, this is who was getting together. This is what was happening in the country. This is where these gatherings were. So if we hadn't kind of solidified, you know, part of what we do before that, I think in, you know, mid 2020, we were like, this is really our only option. This is the group of people who's gathering. And then that was when we were like, okay, we're doing this on a regular basis. We're at one of these things every month, because they were at them every month. We started recognizing all the front row people, and
yeah,
we're like regulars there now.
Oh, but do they know? Okay, there's a lot of questions about that. First of all, like, how far are you traveling? Are you going like across the country to go to these things, or you're kind of like staying in like the PA area? You just go wherever they are.
Well, it depends. I mean, we've traveled across the country. I mean, we've gone to Arizona. There was like a QAnon convention and a Trump rally that were like happening one day after the other, and we're like, oh, this is perfect. We could go to two fun events
everywhere. Texas, yeah. Arizona, California, Florida, Ohio a bunch of times, Georgia. Wherever they are, we've kind of ended up going for it. There was one I still regret not going, in Alaska. That would have been awesome.
Was Sarah Palin going to be there?
Yeah.
I think so. It was some, yeah,
that was a couple,
I think,
years
she was ago. Actually running. Right, she was running for Congress. Oh,
right.
Yeah,
and she lost. Right, that was the runoff.
How'd that end up?
Yeah. Yeah. So going in the middle of COVID that's kind of like also scary, I guess, because these are notoriously not vaccinated. Well, before the vaccine, I guess, were you out there before even that?
Yeah, we went to. I think that we went to. We filmed a little bit. We're filming a movie in 2020. We filmed at some Trump events, and then we ended up in Georgia after Trump in, I think it was December 6th. Trump was like denying the election results. We were at a campaign event for him, which was wild. Talked to people there. And then literally a month later, we were in DC on January 6th. And of course we didn't know what January 6th was going to become when we went there, but that was definitely a moment where we were walking around. We were wearing masks because we were taking COVID seriously. And that put a bullseye on us because people were like, why are you wearing a mask? And, you know, like they would just call us all sorts of names because we were wearing masks at that point. We did run into one guy who was wearing a mask. It was a Trump supporter. But the only person I think we ran into that was wearing a mask, and they had a Confederate flag mask. So it was like the one person that took COVID seriously was also like,
he was really
like
worried about
racism.
Your health and his own health and everything. But he also had another statement to make.
Yeah. The South will rise again. Yes.
Yeah.
But don't,
I think you asked him if the Civil
other...
War ever really ended. And he was like, nope. So he's down there still fighting the Civil War, it sounds like.
Yeah.
With his mask. Well, I've got a couple questions there. Like, what the hell? That experience like on January 6th was for both of you. I mean, again, you went there not knowing, obviously. Not, I mean, what were you expecting? It was just going to be another one of the rallies where people were just going to do the regular crazy?
Yeah.
We went back and forth a little bit. I mean, on the one hand, I think we thought there had been a little bit of violence in D.C. in the days leading up to it, right? There had been there was an event that kind of got out of hand. So I think part of us thought they were going to like really clamp down on this. But then I think we would both turn to each other throughout the day and be like, this is starting to feel a little weird, right? And we actually intended to leave town after interviewing a bunch of people, doing some bits. We had some various bits. I tried to get people to join Scientology, like being like, oh, you guys like cults, you'll like mine too. Jason did a thing called Million Dollar Question, where he would ask somebody for $1 million who won the election. And inevitably, they would say Donald Trump, and he'd say, wrong. Sorry, I was going to give you $1 million. So we had these like bits we were doing. We were interviewing people. And then we thought we should get out of town. And we were driving out of town. We saw this crowd approaching the Capitol, and we didn't want to miss what was going to happen. So we didn't know what was going to be there. But, you know, the intent was to leave because these speeches are boring usually. Mm-hmm. We thought nothing was going to happen. And then obviously it all unfolded, and we had parked and went to the Capitol to see what was going to happen. So,
and we could tell something bad. We were there on the 5th, and we did some interviews, and we saw like Alex Jones giving a speech that, and it, walking into it, he was screaming at the top of his lungs, like pounding his fist. And it really felt like we were like in Germany in the 1930s. Like it felt like it was like Hitler giving a speech, being like, we're going to take this back. And blah, 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 blah. And as we're walking around DC, there's all these militias and Proud Boys that are all around DC, and they're on every street corner with walkie talkies. And when we would pass them, they would be like, shh, there's two guys in masks walking by. They're going down the southeast corner or whatever, whatever. And then we come to another street corner, and there'd be another people who were like expecting us to be there. So it was like, but on the 5th, we were like, this is bad. Like something bad's going to happen because these are people in like military fatigues with bulletproof vests. Like they're in helmets. They're dressed for battle. And they are like taking over the entire city. So we knew something bad was going to happen. Obviously, we didn't know it was going to be like storming the Capitol, like that bad. But it seemed like there were people that were there that were ready for war. They were like ready for violence.
That's got to be kind of surreal, even in retrospect, right? Like, I'm sure as it unfolded, you were probably like, what the fuck is happening? But like, when you, first of all, when you look back at being there, seeing it, and then talk to people who will tell you what the myriad of things, I guess, about it, that it wasn't, that it was peaceful, that it was Antifa, like, it's got to be completely surreal.
It is completely surreal, especially because we'd interviewed some people and talked to some people and seen some people who were like on the front lines of beating up the Capitol Police. And then people will say like, those people were Antifa. And it's like, no, they weren't. Like talked to them.
One of the guys, when we first got to town, we were like getting a lay of the land. I talked to this guy and, you know, he's dressed head to toe. He's got a helmet on. And then he was on all these FBI wanted lists. And to your point, it's like, he wasn't an Antifa guy in disguise talking to me the day before to like, you know, plant the seeds of his ruse the next day. Like he was there with his buddies who'd like gotten in a bus and come up from Tennessee or something. Like it was what it looked like. I mean, we talked to the people, we saw the people the day before. And yeah, it did feel really weird the day before, but kind of every Trump rally feels like 10% this, like people have their, you know, their like aggressive t-shirts with their aggressive slogans and their military style stuff. So I think just part of us was like, maybe this won't get as bad as it feels like it's going to.
We were wrong.
And we couldn't have foreseen that the end of Trump's speech would be go to the Capitol. I think that didn't quite occur to us. It was like symbolically it's happening in the same city at the same time. But that's a whole other step to be like, now go there.
You're all angry. I got you even more angry. Said everything was stolen. Now let's march down there.
Now go to the place. We didn't see that part coming.
I mean, your mind can't go there because there's like nothing you can anchor it to in any reality you've ever known that would have resulted in that. I mean, I think for all of us, even just as like people from New Jersey watching it on TV, it was like, I can't process this because this is so outside the realm of anything I could ever relate it to that it doesn't feel real. You know what I mean? So your brains couldn't have gone there. I mean, now though, in retrospect, do your brains go there a lot where you're like, well, I wonder where this one's going to go, or I wonder what violence is going to result from this craziness? Do you feel like the temperature is always sort of up there now?
Well, I think it's kind of funny because it's like a weird little prophecy that they, like a little lie that they've created. And when I say they, I mean some of the Trump supporters, that because some of them think it was like Antifa and they really believe it. So now they are like, they're going to like not want to do something violent because they think that anyone that's saying to do that is Antifa or the FBI or whatever.
Okay.
It's like, they're stopping themselves.
They're
with
in
their
constant
own conspiracy
fear
theory.
Of the setup now.
Yes, which is amazing. Which is funny. Which is like it's kind of works that way. Yeah. Like it's like okay, well, if you're not going to storm it, I guess that's a good thing. Right. I guess it's only if you got to believe in it's like religion. It's like oh, if this is going to help you like not kill people. Then I guess that's good. But if this belief is going to help you not storm the Capitol, then I guess that's a good thing that you're not going to storm
the Capitol. Goblet scene in Princess Bride. It's like that many layers
you
of
believe,
like
right. Oh, what's poisoned? Yeah, yeah. It's like, yeah right. Yeah, you yeah. would think that. Yeah, I think Jason's exactly right. There's like a. I don't want to be one of those people caught up in an Antifa scheme again. So I'm going to sit this one out. I'm too smart for this. And the result is like people are, I think, are hesitant to do that. Maybe there's also a group of people who might be more organized and more ready to like do something worse next time. Yeah. So we'll see.
But you even taking that that thread a little bit further, you've also probably seen, obviously, as we all have, the evolution of the revision of January 6th. I don't to the point now where those January 6th inmates are hostages. And that's, that's the language of, design that Trump and Elise Stefanik and et cetera are using. And they've now become martyrs, which I don't think they probably were in the beginning, right? Because it was like this whole, what was that, what happened? And they couldn't really settle on, was it Antifa? Was it the deep state? Was it Nancy Pelosi? And now they're persecuted. I mean, you've seen that evolution too, and you've probably talked to these people, right?
Yeah, it's interesting because we now hear people, and we've talked to some of the people that like go and they protest and they have vigils outside like the DC jail for the January 6th hostages. As they call them. And it is weird because it felt like right after January 6th, we had a moment where it was like, it seemed like there was going to be sanity. And there was a moment where Trump could have been impeached and this could have been it. It could have just been over. Like there would be no fear of this. The situation that we're in right now we wouldn't be in it. But because of like Mitch McConnell and the Senate Republicans, it didn't happen. And so it's really depressing.
Well, we stopped like everything. It was like Jason's saying, like it could have been over. But once it wasn't, like anything was fair game. It was like, is it Antifa? It was like they tested a bunch of stories. And then once people were kind of like exhausted and confused enough, just like Trump's presidency in the first place, like it could get more and more extreme. Like not everyone can pay attention to the whole thing. Not everyone knows who to trust or pays as close of attention. And after a while you realize like, or you don't realize, you start to be convinced that maybe we don't really know what happened. And it's just like this war of information of exhausting anybody who's even trying to figure it out. And I think now it's gone to the point, like you said, that these people are hostages and, 40% of the country says the election was fraudulent or whatever. It's insane.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
In some cases, I would say, right, that these people actually do believe it. In some cases, they're just saying it, but probably more often than not, the really hardcore ones that you see in the front row every rally, they actually believe this crazy stuff, right? Like they believed that, for instance, what did they believe about where COVID came from or what COVID was?
Well, I think it depends. According to our sources, which is the people we talk to at Trump rallies, there's a lot, like some people will say like COVID was created by China and unleashed onto the world just so Trump would lose the election and then like taking away all of the voter fraud and all that stuff, or that it was an excuse so they could have the mail-in votes, which is like, oh yeah, we killed They killed millions of people around the world, their own citizens, United States citizens, just so Trump wouldn't win. Like, but they're saying it to other people who are like nodding their heads, and like it becomes a theory that like has legs. Some people don't believe COVID ever really happened, and it was all fake. And
those people, I think they say that, you know, what happened to the flu? And so it's like anybody who was hospitalized, if they had any COVID in their system, they called it a COVID death, and they were held against their will in hospitals. There's this whole idea of like medical
kidnapping
basically, yeah. Where it's like people would go there to be treated, but then held against their will. And then people would literally, on a handful of occasions, people have been like, you know, it happened to my friend. Like, tell me more. So-and-so was feeling a little sick. COVID-like symptoms. Went to the hospital. And, like, they kept her there and she died. You're like, okay, of COVID.
Sad
That's
story.
Tragic. That's terrible. But they think that these hospitals and these doctors are part of a big plot to, like, medically kidnap people. That's what they call it, medical kidnapping. So yeah, you and then there were all those people who thought the war in Ukraine was because it was developed in labs there, right? And that we wanted to stop Russia from exposing that. So it's like, no matter what story, there's a 10 different like messed up mutations of it, and I think people end up falling back into their camps wherever they were because it's too hard to follow.
And then they spread their specific disinformation in like their chat groups, and then like at these, like, because a lot of them go to the rallies together or at least coordinate it, or their convoys or whatever. And so they don't trust, obviously, like mainstream media, to say the least. So they're not getting any of their information from anywhere anyone would think that they would get it from. They're just getting it really from themselves, right? Yeah. Like other strange people.
We see a lot of that.
Like a virus.
Yeah,
these are like the conversations they have with their friends at the bar or in their living rooms. And then we talk to them, and you can see that moment where it's like, I say this thing and everyone pats me on the back. And I said it to you and you asked a follow up and I was not ready for that. It's like the feeling we get a lot, like they're just amping each other up and no one's there to be like, wait a second. Is that true? And that never happens. It's just more of that. And then Trump comes to town and it's like a big football game and you're the home team and everyone's there to support. And no one is ever just asking, like, does this make any sense along the way?
And then even when you're talking to them and they're kind of exposing that they've never given it any further thought, they're not capable, as you expose that, of like being like, oh, I should think about that. They just stop. There's no work further where they go with it. They just stop where they were. They don't follow it to the next logical conclusion. They're done.
Yeah, I think but I don't know. What would you do if you have these beliefs? You know, like if you think about it, like if you're in your group of people and your bubble and all that stuff, and somebody questions you and you have a moment of thinking about it, you're like, oh, all right. But then you go back to the safe, warm, like, ideology that you're ingrained in, like you're not gonna break free of that from this one conversation with some guy in khakis and a button down outside a rally.
You call it a warm bubble, like a warm like angry angry conspiratorial bubble. But I agree, it's like people tend to double down, but we have had a couple of people be like, huh, that is a little hypocritical. But I don't doubt for a second that they go back to their group and get right back into it. It's
right, like whenever you point out when they're desecrating the flag and you point out like what they're wearing, etc. Well, that reminds me, I wanted to talk about this one person who I'm sure you know, and I don't know her name, but she's also one of the J6 not hostages. She's now been freed. She's that woman who's the long hair. She always wears the hat. She's like got like a you know, star spangled like singlet. She's always wears high heel boots. She's kind of, I mean, obviously crazy.
Oh, Mickey something.
I was going to say, you're not narrowing it down. Like,
that's the woman. That's the woman I talked to at the convoy, right?
Yes, I believe so.
She wears the wigs. She wears wigs and like,
and
like
she wears
sunglasses.
Like the kind of police style hat. That's
that's
what's her name?
Is it Vicky?
I want to say Mickey something.
Mickey? Yeah, she was at the trucker con the convoy that wasn't to the border recently as well. She didn't have a car or something, and this whole thing. Because then I went
she
down.
She lost
that.
Her car because she had this amazing.
Oh, she had a little red Miata
that it was covered in like JFK Jr.'s alive. Blah 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 blah. All that
Which
stuff.
Which is another conversation. Yeah. Well, I went. Because I was obsessed with that convoy. Like I was the Canadian convoy. I found all these like Twitter accounts that were just kind of them posting about themselves a lot. And one account was like kind of capturing all their own videos. And I saw something with her. I couldn't stop watching. It was crazy. And there was one with her where she's in somebody else's car. And I think she's talking about it. She doesn't have a car. And then there's the lady who has the mobility scooter who her truck had broken down. And she's probably another one, you know. But the first lady, the with the wig and hat and stuff, you did interview her at, maybe it was at the rally. I mean, at the convoy. And she was talking about gematria. And she was talking about how when you add COVID-19 to Obama, you get open your eyes sheep or something like that.
Yeah. Sheep surrender.
Sheep surrender. 19 is the military code for surrender.
Yes. So it was, and the math was wrong. And so it was so funny to me. And I was, again, became completely obsessed with it, that it motivated me to make a Becky Sue video of just that, of her math. And so I did it in my Becky Sue accent. And it was probably one of our more successful videos.
Oh, nice.
And I didn't understand yet that the image on my, that I could see on my camera was not mirroring. It was backwards. And, but I was, it was so funny because everyone was like, that doesn't even add up. The math is wrong.
No, and Ovid is not sheep. Eyes. It's like something else. Yeah.
Her name is Mickey Johnson something.
And she, I believe, spent some time in jail after January 6th. Yeah. I think she...
Yeah, we saw that she got locked up.
Yeah.
God. Seven, one of
she's back out there, like you said. She was saying hi to Trump at a diner a few months ago, and he like called her a hero or something, right? She got what she wanted.
Do they have jobs? Well, how do they sustain? Because it's like a same set of people go to all of them, right? Generally,
we would make fun of that if we could, but we're also at all of them.
But we're there. We're in the ecosystem. What are we going to say? They're always at these Trump rallies. Oh my gosh! Like,
don't
so
say
we're we.
There.
Like, what are we going to say? I don't know. Yeah, not going to throw any stones there. No, but I'm not sure what her situation is. She, you know. I don't, there's something that she had with, I think she's ex-military or something. And there's, you know, if you like, you peel back the covers on some of this stuff, it's like you, but behind the people that have like these really out there ideas, there's probably a sad story, which is like why they would believe something so simplistic and kind of out there.
I think for her, if I remember in the talking with her, it was something about 9/11. Remember, she had said the Bushes were her heroes, and then something about how learning about how 9/11 wasn't what she thought it was, kind of everything fell down for her, and she was saying it like it was this wonderful kind of realization. She had written this poetry about it, and now this is the result of it. I think it's like this, the general distrust, which, you know, the government does fucked up stuff, and I'm sure we don't know everything that goes on. I think a seed of like doubt manages to sprout this whole tree of disillusionment about literally everything. And, you know, that's the result.
And I do think it's an American problem, like not exclusively American, but like if you look at some of the people that we've talked to and you like kind of just look at what they're distrustful of, which is like institutions, pharmaceutical company, them not wanting to like get a shot from this. And everyone's like, oh, just take the shot. What's the problem here? But a lot of these people have had their like lives ruined by the opioid epidemic and being prescribed heroin by their family members, you know, by doctors and these pharmaceutical companies pushing on it, you know, like the Sacklers and Purdue Pharma, like the distrust that these people have, like there is it's not just out of nowhere. And there's a reason why Trump resonates with them is because he's like, I'm telling you, you're not crazy, that this is, there's people out there to get you. And there are people that have like powerful people that have like ruined their lives. And it's not QAnon, you know, that's where it stops, where it's like, it's not QAnon that's responsible for this, or like the global cabal or whatever. There are rich, powerful people that have, like, in some form destroyed some of their lives and their families. And that's where I think they get pushed down this rabbit hole.
That's interesting, because you never really, I mean, I'm obviously, sadly, not ever empathetic or sensitive to, like, their origin stories of how they became so, you know, disconnected from reality that they believed that JFK Jr. is coming back from the dead or didn't die. I'm not really sure. Maybe you guys can help me with that. I don't know. Did he die? He didn't die.
He didn't die. He faked his own death so that he could come back at the exact right time when he was needed most, and avenge his family's feud with the Clintons and help Trump take back power when it matters most. Just so you know.
Oh.
Just so you know. Also, people say he's currently vice president. So I don't know. There's a couple different stories here. But
vice president? Because I've heard, and I was going to ask you about Joe Biden isn't actually president, which I don't understand how he's not president, but is president. Maybe you can explain that to me. But I didn't know that JFK Jr. was actually vice president now too.
It's two different. Those are, okay. There's two different theories I have to get into there. We actually just did a podcast on this, talking about, like, who is Joe Biden, because we've talked to so many people who say, that's not Joe Biden. That's somebody else. That's somebody wearing a mask. Like, one woman said it was Jim Carrey playing Joe Biden that we talked
to. I saw
that.
Him. Yeah.
But one group of people, negative 38, right, DeRom? 38?
Negative 48.
48. God, I said 58 on the show, and now I'm saying 38. 48. This is important to remember. This is like, negative 48 is like a QAnon cult, and their leader, Michael Brian Protzman, just recently died in a motorcycle accident. But they were the ones who came to Dallas, Texas, and said, JFK Sr. is going to come back to life now. He's going to reveal himself. He never died, or he's reincarnated like Jesus Christ, because he's in a bloodline to Jesus. And he is currently the president of the United States. And JFK Jr. is currently the vice president of the United States. So that's what one group of people believe. Other people
said,
believe.
I mean, not to make fun of anybody after such a tragic incident, but their whole thing is that this has all been prophesized. And it's all, if you look close enough, the plan has all been laid out, but then the leader just died in a motorcycle accident. But this in no way has affected people's, like, belief in that everything is planned out, but they didn't, you know, that I guess they'd say is also part of the plan. I don't know, but
I don't know.
There's no more clear sign that maybe you're going down the wrong path, I think.
But they have I think they have kind of a funny practical response to that, which is like, hey, things happen. I don't know.
It happens.
Even though he's like, everything else is totally planned. But hey,
everything's part of the plan.
I don't know, man. Stuff happens.
What about that?
Yeah.
I don't know.
So you mentioned the podcast, Jason. So you guys are launching a podcast March 5th, right? I believe that is the date, March 5th. And it's The Good Liars Tell the Truth is the name, right? Tell me about it. What has that? What got you tell the truth?
So we've been filming, you know, for a long time now. We've been going to all sorts of these political events, interactions with the politicians, talking to people. And we are going to talk about some of the behind the scenes stories of all these kind of really out there interactions and, you know, high stakes things that we've done with politicians. We're also going to interview guests from the world of politics and in comedy. And it's called The Good Liars Tell the Truth, because we're gonna tell you the truth about what's happening, what's happened in these instances, like on the road talking to some of these people. Because sometimes the story behind it, you know, the video you see is like a minute and a half, and then the story behind it, what happens with us being like held by Secret Service or arrested in some cases. The story is more interesting than the videos that you see. But also, we're gonna be talking about what's going on in the world, and kind of dissecting what's happening in the news and all that stuff too. So we're doing it. We're launching a podcast. There's not enough podcasts out there. So we were like, we got to do it.
As someone who has never entertained the notion of having a podcast, I agree with you. I think there are not enough of them, for sure. Yes. But I will just say also, since I have a podcast that you're on right now, that for me, the most interesting thing is also what you just said. It is sort of those behind the scenes, because I had so many questions. I was like, it's going to take too long, but I wanted to know, like, how do you think to yourself, I want to give Herschel Walker condoms and I'm going to get up on that stage and I'm going to hand him condoms? And like, how do you think that through, and how do you manage to make that happen? You know, again, you got Trump's attention when you said, this is boring. We want jokes. This is boring. He heard you. You got him to stop talking. Like, how you came up with that, what happened after that? Because it can't have been fun. What happened after that, I wouldn't imagine. But I hope you're gonna talk about all that kind of stuff too.
Yeah, we're going to tell the behind the scenes stories of the stuff. I mean, for the most part, we just want to say, for the most part, people say, oh, we're pranking these politicians, blah, blah, blah. We're just trying to help these people. DeVrom's given the participation trophy to Ron DeSantis because he wasn't going to walk away with anything after spending $100 million running for president. It would be good to have something. And he was just trying to be nice. Same thing with Herschel Walker. He was getting all these people pregnant. He was paying for abortions while he was trying to take that right away from women. If he had just worn a condom, that wouldn't have been an issue. Maybe he would have won the election. So I was trying to help him out.
You didn't even charge him for those condoms. So if you offset all these costs and the fact that we bought those and gave them to him, like,
I was looking at it like,
it would have been nice to get a thank you note, and we didn't.
We didn't get anything from him.
He didn't get anything from him.
I didn't think he was going to throw me off the stage, though. He grabbed me very firmly on stage. Yeah. It was like kind of a scary moment. But my thinking with that was the condoms probably cost $20 to buy all those condoms. The abortions were costing him, like, he was spending like
hundreds of dollars each.
Yeah, no, I mean, he was giving like checks for like $1,500 to some of these women. Like, we would have saved him probably $10,000 if you would have just taken the condom. So maybe
it's altruism. Exactly.
Yeah. Yes. And that's hard to be misunderstood. You know, that's the worst of all, is to go through all this. We do this. We do all of these things as kind of a service, a public service, if you will. And some people don't like it. So it's, you know,
That's on them.
No flakes. I think J.D. Vance should have welcomed your feedback. You know, it's important. I think you're
a rewrite. Put out an edit, you know, make the main character a little more likable. Exactly. I agree. It's positive feedback from a reader. You should want that as an author.
Yeah. It's constructive criticism, JD. I thought. But yeah.
You're so misunderstood. Hopefully they'll come around, you know, and, you know, DeSantis will accept his participation trophy because all he got was some spent pudding cups and that potentially really in the end. So
he got some high heel boots. I think that's it.
Right. Yeah. The campaign paid for some high heel boots.
Yeah. But, those were hot, which reminds me, I have to ask you a question about that at some point, but okay. So the podcast sounds amazing. I'm very excited for that to start. And I want to hear all the dish on all the stuff. And you're going to be going out more, obviously, for other events and MAGA rallies, et cetera.
No, we've retired. So if there's any security for any of these events, we will not be attending any more political events. Don't be on the lookout for us. We will not be at any of these events.
Do they recognize you now? Do they see you and they're like, oh, we know who that is. It's the good liars.
Some people. Sometimes. I mean, it depends. It's a... Like, the media definitely, like, before DeVrom went up there, I think they all knew something was about to happen with the participation trophy with DeSantis. But I don't know about, I mean, we get recognized by staff and things like that sometimes. But now, since we're retiring, you don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, anymore. That's good. Yeah. Oh, well, that is actually a bummer because I would, you know, die, like literally die to be one of those people who just goes and watches and infiltrates, but quietly and silently, just to sort of observe what you do and how you do it. And that one of those rallies, because I feel like I need to experience it because I'm only.
Oh, what are you doing this weekend?
Yeah.
Not that we're going. We're not going anywhere.
You're retired.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, we're retired. Yeah.
You've given enough of yourselves, really, is what it is. There's nothing, you're sort of tapped out. Now you need some you time. You know?
Yes, exactly. So we're going on a vacation. If there's a Trump rally there, so be it. Maybe we'll stop by, but we're just going to go on vacations now.
Yeah,
going to
seek them out. Yeah.
Monthly vacations.
I think that's good. Just refill your cup. I'll find somebody else to follow around that's going to be going to these things. That now that you've done your part, but yes. I'm sure like Walter Masterson, is that his name? Walt Masterson.
Yeah, Walter Masterson. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure I can see him at some tag of these.
Along with him. Maybe we'll be at the same event or be on vacation in the same area.
Yeah, there you go. We have a MAGA contingent, quite a large one in my town. Actually, one of the first conspiracy, what were they called? One of the first people indicted in January 6th was from here, from my town. Seditious conspiracy, wow. Whatever they were. Seditious, whatever. Yeah, my town. Which, actually, when I was watching January 6th unfold, I was like, I would wager that at least 50 guys from my town are there. And I'm still not sure how many, but it couldn't have been much less than that. And we had a soup place here in town. We called them the soup Nazis because they were Trumpers and they had MAGA flags and Nazi signs, Nazi flags, Nazi paraphernalia in their windows. And whoa. They were, of course, opposed to masks. They would, they were this little mini kind of hub of that sort of same thing that I never...
Yeah, a soup store?
Soup. Yeah.
Soup. Wait, I have to ask a question here.
Yeah.
How was the soup? Was the soup good? Is the soup good enough to like forgive the Trumpism and the Nazism there?
Well, I'd like to say that I don't know because I would never patronize their soup store, but I have to tell you, this is very funny and my kids found it endlessly ironic and I won't say who it was, but I was sick with the flu. And a friend of mine that I'd met via Twitter was a huge voice on the left side of all of this and huge anti-Trumper. And so I was sick and Googled soup in Hackettstown and ordered me chicken noodle soup from the soup Nazis. And I didn't have the heart to tell him. He asked how it was. And so I felt like compelled to at least try it. And so I did. And it was awful. It was god awful.
Really? It was bad. Awful. So what are they doing? It's just a front
for hate.
Extreme right hate.
Yeah.
They're not even like faking it with good soup. Well,
they're out of business now. So their soup was so bad that
Biden. Jeez.
Yeah.
All these small businesses.
Just trying to make an honest soup living and you can't even get by.
Can't even
Nazi run business.
You help finance one insurrection and you try and make some decent chicken noodle and that's all it takes.
All it takes.
Who is the friend? Was it Nancy Pelosi? Did she get the soup there? To be honest.
I'm not at liberty to say.
Wow.
It
neither
was
confirming nor denying.
It
okay.
was. Oh my gosh.
Antifa. All of them. All of Antifa. I'm going to pivot to this sort of different version of the interview and then we'll get to the end of the interview because I've kept you a very long time. So normally I do a rapid fire random question round, but in your case, because it's my first threesome, I'm going to do it a little bit differently and I'm going to do a would you rather round. So I'll pose the question. You have two options. You can't really deviate from them. You have to pick one, I'm afraid. Not picking one is not an option and this is a very serious podcast.
Okay.
So are you ready?
I'm ready. Yes.
Very serious.
Number one, would you rather have access to Matt Gaetz's internet search history or Ted Cruz's internet search history?
Cruz's. Oh, really? I would say Matt Gaetz because I already know Ted Cruz's. We already know he's liking porn tweets on 9/11. Like we already know.
But there's got to be so much other weird stuff in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like Googling like, what's the best warm yogurt to eat? Yeah.
How to suck down some warm yogurt and not get it on your tie.
I've Googled that. Yeah. Actually, I think that would be Josh Hawley's.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe. Well, Ted Cruz would be doing something weird. I don't know. There's definitely something odd in there. I don't know that I'd want to know that. But also, Matt Gaetz.
Then you're haunted by that indefinitely. That's knowledge crimes. You have.
If you looked at Matt Gaetz, you could be like, he's like, how do I get out of this jam? Yeah. I don't know. So wait, I said Matt Gaetz. So I'll that's my final answer.
Matt Gaetz. Okay.
And Tavram said Ted Cruz.
Oh, okay. I think, I would go Ted Cruz because I don't think I want to stumble upon like kitty porn, you know, or Venmo history. Matt Gaetz. And Ted Cruz is probably like, how do I grow a real beard? You know, like, what do I, what kind of magical? Okay, question two. Would you rather run errands in Daisy Duke shorts and Ron DeSantis' white boots, or take the SAT with Lauren Boebert's brain?
I'd take the SAT with Lauren Boebert's brain, because I could fail the SAT and I'd feel fine about myself. So I guess that's my final answer.
Okay.
I'm running the errands in the boots. I mean, I have no issue taking the SATs with Lauren Boebert's brain. The stakes are low there, but the errands is going to be an unforgettable story. You know, you're going to make new friends. You're going to get errands done. I'm going errands.
Yeah, I guess. Are we getting money to do the errands? Because I might change my answer.
I'm getting stuff done. They're your errands.
Yeah. They're your errands. Yeah. It's like the post office.
Okay.
Yeah.
I stand by my answer then.
And I mine.
Okay. I love it. I'm just picturing them both. But last question. I'm sorry for this one. Would you rather share an ice cream cone with Marjorie Taylor Greene or a plate of duck liver pate with Stephen Miller?
Well, an ice cream cone is, you're going to be swapping saliva with that one. So that, I think just... So I'd pick the ice cream cone. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know. Duck liver pate doesn't sound very good either. But
I don't think it tastes good. But to your point, you're not licking the same cone of duck liver pate. You're just sitting there for a while.
But presumably it's Stephen Miller. So do you know what the pate is really, though? That's the question.
I see. So you're implying it's human.
You're saying
flesh.
It should get. You're saying we might find out more when we scratch below the surface of the pate there. Could get worse for us.
I've never met Stephen Miller. I've met Marjorie Taylor Greene. So I'd like to meet Stephen Miller. So I'm gonna say Stephen Miller.
You've met Marjorie Taylor Greene?
Yes.
Oh. Yes. Top lines, takeaways on meeting Marjorie Taylor Greene. What is she like?
We're in the same book club. So we see each other every Thursday evening. No, we are, she was, I guess we've had a couple interactions with her. I'm trying to think where I know it was at the RNC and then at CPAC. The debate, not the RNC. So I would say, I don't know. She's exactly how you would think she would be. She's kind of mean. And that's it. I don't know. I would say unremarkable is how I would describe her.
Unremarkable. Not to be remarked upon. Okay.
Yes. No. Very small person though, right? Like she's like quite wee, is she?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess I'm pretty tall, so if somebody's like 5'5" or 5'7", I'm not seeing a big difference there.
Yeah.
So I'm like I couldn't tell you. I don't know. Is she
small? I don't know. I think she was surrounded by some security and other people and I don't know. They were a big presence, but I don't know. I don't know if she was small or not. I'm going duck liver pate.
Okay.
I don't know if I've ever had that. I'm all about new experiences, life firsts. I want to check that off the list. Duck liver pate.
And you're rolling the dice big time.
I bet it's good.
I've had it. I wouldn't eat it now, but I've had it. It tastes like if you've ever had liverwurst as a kid. I don't know. It's in that vein, but less livery. Last question, and it's not one of those really fast, and then like we'll promise to let you go. But like, have you seen sort of any changes in their enthusiasm or like attendance? Is MAGA the same level of intensities? Does he have the same kind of support? Has it trailed off?
No, it has not trailed off. I would say it's just as intense, if not more intense. And
holy shit.
He is. I don't know who we're talking to, but somebody's asking about that same question, because it seems like that's a thing that liberals want to, like, on Twitter and stuff like that. It's like, oh, nobody's going to stuff. I think we posted something like that at the Bill O'Reilly. We went to the Bill O'Reilly Trump thing, like in 2021, and they didn't have like the upper deck wasn't open for it, but it was still like an arena.
That people, that was because it was expensive, but it doesn't cost money to vote. So
yes. But at these rallies in New Hampshire, there was like lines going either way outside this building. And there was like, you know, 1,000 people outside of the building that weren't going to get in, and they were waiting in the cold, even though knowing they probably weren't going to get in. So I would say it has not fallen off one bit. And the people that support him and like him, whatever percentage of Americans that is, 30 to 35, I don't know, at least voters, they are still 100% for Donald Trump.
Yeah, if anything, it's like hardening, congealing, like whatever. I don't know he's bringing a ton of... Yeah, it's like the, every one of these things, you can't get a parking spot and there's a line of people. So that would be a mistake, I think, for people to think that it's really falling off. Mm. I know there's so many other factors at play, but his support is definitely, definitely still there.
And he's winning the polls. So I don't know. I mean, I'm not excited for this election. I'll say that.
Well, I can't believe you guys picked now to retire and become podcasters on vacation, because it feels like that was a judgment error. But
all right, we won't retire. Fine.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah, we won't do it.
Oh my God, thank you so much. Oh my gosh.
No, Jason wants to talk about this later.
I won't retire. You can do whatever you want, DeVrom. Okay. I was convinced by JoJo here.
Okay. All right. Well, let's go on vacation this weekend.
Oh,
okay. Figure it out.
Yeah.
Maybe where a Trump rally is.
I might have saved Good Liars. I'm not sure. Or I might have actually made you guys split up and get divorced, because you'll never reconcile this difference. And so.
Either way, you did something great.
Look at me.
Yeah.
I don't do anything small unless you count certain exes. But other than that.
Ouch. Yes, geez, I went with a dick
joke. I went with a dick joke. I did wrap things up with a dick joke. But hopefully, if you don't retire, I can tag along sometime. I swear to God, I'll be really, really good, and I'll buy all the snacks. I'm a mom. I always have snacks.
Oh, so. Nice. All right. What is it going to be?
Nazi soup?
Roll-ups? Nazi soup?
Always goldfish, probably combos, some kind of jerky. And
some liverwurst.
Liverwurst. I always have that in my purse. Yep.
Yeah. And a half-eaten ice cream cone from Marjorie Taylor Greene. It'll be
you great. Never know when you're going to need those things. I'm telling you. Especially at a MAGA rally. But okay, well, I had so much fun. I am so excited to have finally got to meet you. Like I said, my son is a huge fan. He watches your stuff, I guess, on TikTok. Are you on? You're on TikTok, right? So you're on. So yeah, tell me that real quick. Where can people find you? Where can they follow you? Where's the podcast going to be, et cetera, et cetera?
The podcast can be wherever you get podcasts. It's also going to be on our YouTube. So Spotify, Apple, Google, Amazon, all those.
You can go to goodliarspod.com.
Too. Okay.
Yes. And we're going to have special bonus content, a whole another episode after every episode that's going to be on Hero Hero. And it's herohero.co/thegoodliars that you can grab. You can see that bonus episode.
Okay, cool.
Yes. And you can follow us on Twitter, or sorry, X, excuse me, at The Good Liars, on TikTok, The Good Liars, YouTube, The Good Liars. And then on Instagram, because some jerk made an account that is a fan account for Pretty Little Liars and The Good Place. We don't have The Good Liars on Instagram. We are TGL NYC on Instagram. So that's where you'll have to find us on Instagram.
Somebody took my Instagram too, which is so strange. And so I have a dot in my JoJo from Jurors. It's a JoJo dot from Jurors, because someone took JoJo from Jurors before I could ever, which is weird.
These people aren't even posting.
No.
Pretty Little Liars and the Good Wife fan content.
Good Place. Good Place. Good Wife. Totally different thing.
Totally different.
Ted Danson, Good Place, NBC series.
Good Wife, Julianne Margulies.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Where can people support you guys? Like, how can they want to contribute to what you're doing and support what you're doing?
Well, the Hero Hero, the exclusive content you get, that is a subscription that you'll support. It's a monthly, it's $5 a month. Across the board.
Nice.
And we also have a Patreon, patreon.com/thegoodliars. But if you want the special episodes, you got to go to Hero Hero for those. And we're launching that with the podcast on March 5th. Yeah, The Good Liars Tell the Truth podcast. So excited.
I'm so excited.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you guys so much. Guys, definitely subscribe to all their things and support them, because even though they haven't decided if they're going to retire yet, which is a big deal, but
I'm not retiring. I'm saying it here. I'm saying it here Jason's right now. Decided. I'm not retiring. DeVrom is undecided on that. So
yeah. Okay.
You retired us earlier, but anyway,
but for real, what you guys do helps for honest to God, I swear, the comedy, the laughs, like just kind of just not even the, it's not even that it's commentary, just sort of showing us the ridiculousness of it by just letting it speak for itself has been cathartic for people like me who are really, like, unfortunately, really, really in this stuff and always paying attention. I'm always in the weeds on it. I'm always, it can be really easy to be like, oh my God, I'm so depressed. But when I see somebody talking about, you know, gematria or how the earth is flat, and I, because that's, you know, basically a Venn diagram circle, you help me laugh and so I can keep going. So you're like givers in that way too. So I thank you seriously for that. And that's again why you should not retire. Just kidding. Well, I know Jason's
thank
definitely
you.
Solid.
Yes. Thank you for saying that. That does mean a lot. It's always nice to hear. So
yeah, no, it's awesome. You're putting something positive out in the world, which is also funny. So I appreciate it. And I know a lot of people do too. Good luck with the podcast. I definitely will be subscribing to that and to the extra podcast. So I'm excited for that. Does that one have nudity, or what makes it special? Is it?
Well, no comment on that. You just have to.
That's a good idea, though. We should add some.
Yeah, just
a little
saying.
Sex appeal. A little sex appeal. Sex
right?
A long way. Yeah, yeah. So we'll say maybe on the nudity.
Okay, we'll go with maybe. All right. Well, yeah. That's something to very much look forward to. So I know you didn't have a hard out or maybe a soft out, but with that, thank you guys so much. Thanks to the Good Liars, who are amazing and doing incredible work and making us laugh. And I had a blast. I can't wait to show this to my son because it's totally appropriate for a 14-year-old to watch. And again, good luck with the podcast. I know I'll be tuning into that, and have an incredible week. And if you want me to, you know, go with you sometime, just to let me know. I know how to do a pretty bad Southern accent, so I can pretend to fit in. And that's it. Thank you so much, guys.
It's a day.
Yeah. All right. I'm seriously holding you to this, because then the people listening and watching this are going to be like, she's not going to let up, because I don't tend to say something in advance. So I'll buy the soup. I'll buy you soup. But all right. So we'll keep everybody tuned. Stay tuned on that one as that develops, because I'm going to pressure them. And thank you. Thank you again, guys. And everybody else, thanks for watching and for listening, and have a great week. Bye, guys.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Are You Effing Kidding Me? Is a production of the Political Voices Network. Please visit us at politicalvoicesnetwork.com.